the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true. I love you.
Our next guest is one of those rare talents who has something to say and can say it funny. He's a writer-performer on the new Laugh-In and one of the most popular, outspoken, and entertaining personalities on the local news here in Los Angeles. He's won a half a dozen Emmys as a film critic and host of his own shows. Let's welcome Mr. John Barber, right over there.
Thank you. This is John Barber. It's Monday, October 17th here in John Barber's World and Las Vegas, Nevada. In the last 2 days, if you've been watching the weather reports, we've had 40 and 50 mile an hour hot winds blowing in here. I guess they're going to get a lot. There's going to be a lot more hot air in Nevada on Wednesday night because Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are going to be, if you can call a debate, it's going to be a debate at UNLV, okay? Unbelievable nonsense levied verbally. Now, listen, I'm so tired of this election, and I don't want to say anything about it. I mean, I said a long time ago that if baseball were at all like politics, then the two worst teams would be playing in the World Series. But what else is going to happen? The town is going to be swamped. I mean, this is the gambling capital of the world. So that the night that they speak, the biggest game that everybody will be talking about is craps. But what is going to happen on Wednesday also is Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones are coming into town. So there's a move afoot here in town from the students at UNLV to have them forget somebody from the school singing the national anthem to introduce the debates, but have Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones do something much more appropriate, which is their famous song, Can't Get No Satisfaction. Oh, my God almighty. It's just, my head has turned to porridge, and I'm trying to avoid this. That's why we booked this wonderful, wonderful lady back again. She's one of your favorites, Rosie Cutter, probably the best astrologer, numerologist I've ever run across. I'm going to give you a number right now, by the way. Get a pencil and a piece of paper. It is toll-free, 1-888-627-6008. And Rosie's going to be talking to us and going to be talking to you in just a minute. But one of the reasons my head is turning to porridge is because for the last 8 or 10 weeks, half of the time I'm spent in the knitting room and half of the time in front of a typewriter finishing a documentary, part two of the Garrison tapes, using the hours of material that I have of Jim Garrison from September 5th, 1980. I wasn't aware of it much at the time. I was just thinking about his investigation and the murder of John Kennedy. But he gave me an hour of material about the media, which has never been seen or heard, which is astonishing. Because I must tell you, right now, because Bernie Sanders, first of all, because Donald Trump entered the race and he pointed out what a fraud, first of all, the system is, and made us all aware of it. And of course, Bernie Sanders made us more aware of what a fraud it is when he joined the fraudsters who sabotaged him. He joined Hillary, who had cannibalized him, for crying out loud. Okay? So in any event, I get a lot of really wonderful comments and mail from folks. And I'm working on this documentary with a half a dozen of great guerrilla fighters, great guerrilla journalists, okay? Now, most people are aware of what, because of what happened to Bernie Sanders, that the media is a fraud. Okay, now this is people who do not care about politics at all. They just know from what they hear, it's all over the place. Every day I get three or four more sites from friends on Facebook who say, look at this article about the media being a fraud. Anyway, one of the our band of guerrillas working with us is a 50-year-old lawyer in Washington, D.C. by the name of Brian Lloyd. Listen to this. He has suffered three heart attacks. He just had major heart surgery about 2 months ago. He is 50, okay? He was not even born when John Kennedy is killed. He has acquired one of the greatest libraries of books and newspaper articles and videotapes and film that I have ever seen. And he drove down to Charlotte, where my right-hand man, right-hand woman, without whom I could not do this documentary. Her name is Myra Bronstein, okay? Sadly, she works for Wells Fargo. But other than that, she knows as much about the assassination as the House Select Committee knows, probably even a lot more than that. Anyway, he has delivered this material to her, and she has cataloged it, made it available to me as research. Anyway, what Brian did, is he said, I had said a long time ago, a year ago, that Bernie Sanders would probably turn out to be the Democrats' Ron Paul, that he would run and hide when he had the opportunity to create a third party that could do damage. I think he got scared for two reasons. He got scared, first of all, because 12 million people voted for him. He probably didn't expect a couple of 100,000, okay? And most of these people were under 40. Most of these people were under 25. Audiences that Hillary and Donald Trump did not have, okay? And of course he did. He caved in, and I did my open letter to Bernie Sanders, which I told him that I said something very profane, which indeed I meant. Anyway, Brian sent this great picture. You've now been hearing about their hauling people out of offices from 30 years ago, women who say that Donald Trump had groped them. Okay, they forget all the horrors of Hillary Clinton, the fact that she voted to kill children in Iraq, she didn't stop Janet Reno and her husband from killing children in Waco, and she wanted a drone 2 weeks ago to go and kill Julian Assange because he's revealing truths about the kill, how they killed, the chances for Bernie Sanders to be president. Okay. Anyway, he said this thing. It's up on Facebook, my page. Is this picture of Bernie? And it says, let me make one thing perfectly clear. I was not groped by Donald Trump. I was screwed by Hillary Clinton. And so I added to that, and they could have added that Bernie screwed 12 million of us. Anyway, another friend of mine, very close friend, who inherited $500,000 a year ago and moved himself and his family and his beautiful child over to Thailand, he went over there, and he is the kind of fellow who is such a computer genius. Whenever the law found somebody breaking the law, and they tried to destroy their computers, they would call him for forensic computer analyzation, okay? And he could retrieve everything that had been trashed. Anyway, he found this out about Bernie Sanders, and he sent me this note, which is also on Facebook. He said, after Bernie dropped out and backed Hillary, he bought a $600,000 lakefront home. Bernie's reported net worth was $528,014, yet who just spent a reported $600,000 on a summer vacation home with 500 feet of lake frontage on gorgeous Lake Champlain, unquote. Okay. Another friend answered him. His name is Michael Ramsdell. He said, I think Bernie was altruistic in his goal, and he believed it for a while. Then the softball game turned into hardball game, and Hillary turned into Steinbrenner. Anyway, that's all I want to say about that it is indeed a terrible misfortune that we've had to find a deeper barrel to scrape the bottom of in order to come up with these two pathetic candidates. But we have the most enjoyable and the most interesting, one of the most interesting guests we have ever had on the show, one that you all love to listen to and talk to. Her name is Rosie Cutter. Again, the number here is 888-627-6006. Rosie not only is the best astrologer, numerologist I know, but she's a fantastic entertainer, songwriter, who just returned from an extended trip to Italy. Rosie, welcome back from Italy, and welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, John. Yeah, it's great to be back. Yeah, I love your show.
Well, thank you. I didn't mean to carry on so much at the front. You know, ordinarily I make notes so that I can get to the point right away. But as I said, my mind is forged. I haven't had a chance to make any notes. And I introduced that beautiful, my wife singing that beautiful song, Sunny, at the top of the show. At the halfway mark, you're going to hear a commercial for a local radio station put together by a man named Gino Munari, without whom I could not finish this documentary. But that's later. Anyway, what took you to Italy? Why did you go? Was it a vacation or was it a work vacation?
It was a work vacation, and I have a great friend named David Schmidt who has Kaizen Travelers, and he offers kind of unique tour experiences at different exotic locations, Italy, Bali, Kauai, and he takes groups of 10 to 15 people, and we had a lot of fun and enjoyed the cuisines and the wines, but we also did Pilates, and I gave readings to each of the people there, and we did music together as well. So it was a bit of both.
For you, what was the most surprising reading? And what was the reaction to that surprising reading?
Of people that I've done, you mean?
Yeah, well, while you were going to Italy, or where you've done those readings anywhere, what was the most surprising one to you?
I guess surprising actually happens. It kind of happens quite a lot, but you can look at the past charts. There's fixed numbers, just like there's computer programs that show you where the stars in the sky were at the time of Jesus being born, because it's on a cyclical clock, like gears. So when I look in someone's past and we can narrow it down to exactly when a significant event happened in their life, or an accident, or the birth of a child, and you read that influence for that month, and it literally says the birth of a child, or beware of accidents while driving, or alcohol and drugs being involved. I mean, it does get that specific. So that surprises me quite a lot, because I do a lot of readings for people that I never meet. And so, you know, it's pretty unbiased.
Okay, the last time you were here, you did readings for Hillary and Donald, which I felt were extremely accurate. Now, it's been a few months since you've done that. The stars and the planets are in different positions. So if you look at their charts now, would there be something different about either Hillary or Donald or both?
Yes. So their actual birth card wouldn't change, but where we are in the progression of the year is changing. Hillary is about to turn 69 on October 26th. So her birthday's coming right up. And she's in a very difficult period right now. And that is reflected in the press. It's a 9 of clubs in Neptune. So it literally says that she has vagueness in thinking and communicating right now. And it causes lots of problems. There'll also be disappointments related to travel or some personal dream or ambition. So a longtime cherished dream of her comes to an end during this period. Well, it's not looking great for her, and she is canceling public appearances, I believe, because of vagueness of thinking. So that's definitely right in line. Things do seem to take an uptick right after her birthday, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on where you sit on that line. And then Donald is sitting in one of the most powerful places of his life. However, that can be hard to read, because even if he didn't win, he's more famous now than he's ever been. And so this is very, very good for his business investments. So either way, he's in a much better place. But Hillary does have tremendous problems that will probably come up in February and March of the new year, especially maybe legally or and or health wise. So, you know, who knows? I feel like it's like it doesn't even matter at this point.
69, you say?
Yeah, because she's turning 69.
And a number very familiar to Bill, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I know. Excuse me. The devil made me do it. Okay.
Well, I would say that one point of the whole election has been to show the American people as well as the world that it is a kind of a big wag the dog farce. So people really need to get existential and even stop kind of talking about this stuff. Like if you could imagine the emotional energy that's gone into the average person in this election for the last year, people could have like manifested their dreams and planted gardens. And we should just pretend it doesn't exist, because in a certain way, it really doesn't. Your local elections count, but that's about it.
Well, Donald said something the other day that I don't think he was being flippant about, because he's on a stage with her and he obviously sees her physically close up and can evaluate her delivery, her stance, her style and everything. And he said that before the elections, we should have drug tests.
Yeah, very fascinating, huh? Because people are accusing him of the cocaine thing. But I mean, I don't know if you've ever been around anybody on cocaine. They'd be sniffing a lot harder than he was. I mean, he was just inhaling deeply and the microphone picked it. But yeah, that is a very and that's what I love about him. You know, he's very, very ballsy and he doubles down. He's self-convinced, you know.
And then, you know, he shoots from the hip at one point. I recall, I don't watch them. I tell you, I don't watch them. But once in a while I'm going by the news that's on to come upstairs to my office, I will catch a clip. And there was a clip that I thought was absolutely, truly ballsy. And she said something about, well, it's a good thing you're not making the laws. And he said, if I were, you'd be in jail.
Yeah, and it came right off his lips, right? Because it's truth. But there is truth in that. And gosh, what kind of planet is this? I hope that everybody uses this as an opportunity to take a step back and recognize that this is a sort of a movie or a stage. It represents certain things, but this is not it. There is something going on behind the scenes. And the more ludicrous things get, in a certain sense, helps people realize how unreal it all is.
Yes, but one of them is going to end up being president.
And well, you know, I heard Madeleine Gerwick on the Jeff Wrench show the other day, and she had some very interesting conclusions. Would you like me to share that?
Absolutely. You're kidding.
Yeah, it was fantastic. She was citing a very old system that numerologically has been able to predict every president since 1860-something, whether it was going to be Democrat or Republican. And she actually came to some very weird conclusions that the Democrats would get it, but it wouldn't be Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
How interesting, right? And another interesting thing is she has no – did you see she has no public appearances scheduled at all?
Well, one of the reasons is that nobody shows up.
I saw that in the things. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, though. So we'll see. And she said even if she did get in, she probably wouldn't live that long. She had tremendous health issues. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But no matter what happens, she said that the public is going to be enraged when the results come out. So it's
this is a question I'm asking you now, but later when Joe Satilli joins us, I'm going to ask him too. And that question is, why is it that the media is preoccupied with these picadillos, decades-old picadillos of Donald Trump, and are absolutely ignoring these truly interesting, truthful emails that have been supplied to us by Julian Assange? And why? And then I'll make that a two-part question. Have you ever done a chart on Julian Assange?
Yeah, I've looked it up, and actually, I was just going to ask you, did you see the latest news that there's rumors that he's dead?
Well, that's the second time it happened. I know that 2 weeks ago, Hillary wanted to send a drone to assassinate him, but yeah. I doubt, it wouldn't surprise me if somehow they got to him.
Yeah.
They got to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Listen, the CIA can get to anybody, absolutely anybody. So I'm sure they could find a way to get Assange. But that's the second time this has happened. My belief is that he is probably still alive.
That's good. Well, his chart is actually an incredibly powerful person. He is July 3rd, which makes him a Queen of Diamonds. Now, even though he's a queen, let's put it in perspective with some other Queen of Diamonds. Martin Luther King was a Queen of Diamonds. Jerry Garcia is a Queen of Diamonds. Tom Cruise is a Queen of Diamonds. So these men have a powerful karma in the world to help uplift people to higher values. And I would say that he has made a huge name for himself in revealing the truth, and that makes people question their values. And also his chart can make enemies very easily, because when you're in the public, there's bound to be some critics, you know? So he is a very powerful guy, and he's 45 years old. Looking at his picture, you can see, you know, life, you know, knowledge is power, but it's also very heavy, and you can see that reflected in his face. But yeah, Queen of Diamonds, powerful guy, Assange. I don't know what's going to happen.
We seem to be having a technical difficulty with the phones. Let me announce the numbers again. It's area code. Oh, it's not an area code. It's 888-627-6008. At the beginning, Rosie, before we went on the air and I was talking to you about the amount of time that I'm spending putting together this documentary, and I thought about it for about 15 or 20 years, and I put it off actually until about 6 months ago, when Myra Bronstein in Charlotte began to encourage me to do it, and a number of other people began to encourage me to do it. We are two chapters away from finishing it, and I must tell you something. As I said a little bit earlier, I am not religious at all. Maybe a little spiritual, I don't know. I can't tell. But I must tell you, it has been my experience in life. Sometimes if something is not meant to happen, it will not happen. When I first moved up here, I wanted to buy a house on a golf course because I was a golf bum, right? And I put a $25,000 deposit down with one of my best friend here in Vegas, whose son was a real estate broker. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get into the house, because all of a sudden, everything went into bankruptcy because some contractors had filed suits for non-payment of windows and doors and stuff like that. Had I not befriended a lady named McDonald, probably part of McDonald Ranch here in town, who took a liking to me, I would have never gotten that $25,000 back. Now, I had spent time and a fortune trying to get a house I wasn't meant to get, okay? But when it comes to things that are meant to happen, for example, Real People was meant to get on the air, and it only got on the air by accident. This documentary, originally I was planning on going to Vancouver for 10 days to work with Leno Sanek, a brilliant editor, brilliant musician, edited with him in another piece before. But things came up because I didn't understand a lot of the technology of how to edit properly on a computer, so I was forced to stay in Las Vegas. It would have never been done had I gone to Vancouver. But everything that's happening is happening to make this documentary happen. Tell me why that is.
Well, when we look at your birthday, April 24th, the energy of that day is the 10 of clubs, which literally means that you are like a giant open well here to absorb information from many different places and then reinterpret it, teach, regurgitate, write, you're a speaker. So many famous people and orators, much like you, are Ten of Clubs, everyone from Madonna to Pavarotti and Jim Morrison and Steven Tyler to Tennessee Williams. And your second card is the King of Spades. So you have this innate desire to help and be of service. And in a way, you were given certain gifts that you've worked on for many lifetimes. And this is like a benefit life for you. And all you need to do is follow your passions and your dreams. So the gifts that you need to give, of course, are going to be limited because, you know, even though you're a 10 and you're all encompassing and you love everybody, there's only 24 hours in a day. So now that this documentary is coming to its conclusion, I really feel like it's a huge life's work for you that you were always meant to do. And it's kind of probably been a monkey, you know, on your shoulder waiting to be birthed into the world. And so congratulations, because this is actually your destiny as a human being, whether you have love and you have money and all these things. Really, it's about whether you remember what you were came here to do. Because this place is very hellish and getting worse by the day, especially depending on where you are.
Could I give you a couple of quick examples of how that serendipity happened?
Yeah.
And do you mind? We're going to take a break in a few minutes. And during the break, folks, I want you to listen to this ad for this new radio station if you like really good music. Okay. I decided that when I couldn't go to Vancouver, I would go to a place called U-Edit, which is very, very well known here in Las Vegas. It's owned by a wonderful man. His name is John Haddad. He's got Ralph Nader's personality, very sweet, peaceful soul. He gave me an unbelievable financial break on the editing. And the lady editor who I had 6 years ago, her name is Kippy Mason. She's a black lady, 41 years of age. The most brilliant editor that I've ever worked with. And remember, I did 3 years of Real People when it was the number one show in America. So I edited with a lot of great editors. Well, there's not a lot of business in town. So she had to get a part-time job at the post office. So that meant I was going to lose this brilliant editor 3 or 4 days a week to the post office. How could I ever indeed get this done? I couldn't. I know the first thing, a lot, I know nothing about editing. Okay, rewind the tape. A year ago, 8 months ago, when I decided to do this, Myra Bronstein put up a site called GoFundMe to help John raise some money to help do this documentary. It had not been up 8 hours, and up shows $500. From a guy named Gino Minari, $500. Since then, we've received about 60 contributions, the smallest being about $25. This is from a mother in Hawaii who gave up getting another tattoo so she could help contribute to the film. Anyway, a few months later, I start the research. I have to look at hundreds and hundreds of videos. I have to look at thousands of documents. It's absolutely killing me. And up pops a new JFK assassination site sent to me by this fellow, Gino Minari. I had never seen anything so thorough. So I had to thank him. He's in town here. Okay, so I called him and asked him if he would come to lunch with me so that I could thank him. He shows up. It turns out Gino, he's exactly my size, about 25 pounds heavier, is at one time one of the most famous magicians, sleight of hand artists in Las Vegas. He is the largest seller of magic tricks on the internet. And I think his company's name is Houdini. Anyway, I happened to mention to him about losing Kippy. And he said, I could help you. And I said, I don't think I can afford you. He said, I'll do it for nothing. And to help me get this, to make sure he had the same machine that Kippy had, he went out 2 weeks ago and paid a fortune for a Mac. You know how much Mac, top-of-the-line Macs cost? Okay. So anyway, I'm now finishing the editing with him, and it's spectacular. So that serendipity. And I must tell you something else. Every time I have to slow down, Rosie, and I'm looking for documents, up comes a fact that nobody has ever seen or heard of before, except the guy who accidentally posted it. So that is what what's been happening to this project. Now, I'm going to say this one time publicly, and I'll never say it again. A year before I got Real People on the air, I did not have a steady job, and I interviewed a fellow named Maury Gelman, happened to interview me, who was a fan of my being on the Merv Griffin Show. And I said to him in the conversation casually, I will one day change the face of American television with what I call the entertainment of reality. Everybody thought I was stupid, didn't even know what I was talking about. Okay, a year and a half later, Real People accidentally gets on NBC and becomes the number one show in America. I'm going to say about this documentary, and I've seen hundreds that are brilliant. This documentary is called The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It revolves around Jim Garrison's investigation into the case where he discovered some in the media were complicit in the assassination before Dallas, and nearly every one of them, 99% or more, were complicit in protecting the murderers afterwards, and we have everything to prove it. This documentary will become the godfather of all American documentaries. So now it has to live up to my little braggadocio there. So that's my comment. We're going to take a break right now, Rosie, and hopefully that phone problems can be solved and they can call in after the break, even while Joe is here. We'll be right back with Joe Satilli and listen to this commercial for Gino's radio station. It's fabulous. We'll be right back.
Great music from all the greatest performers from sunup to sundown.
How do you keep the music playing?
Then, great talk all night. The mysteries of UFOs, conspiracy theories, and the true story of Las Vegas that has never been told.
There are three ways to listen to KIYQ. Go to the TuneIn app, just search for KIYQ, or go to www.kiyq.org. Listen from any telephone, call 605-477-2857. That's 605-477-2857. Long distance charges may apply.
KIYQ 107.1.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Hi, this is John Barber of John Barber's World every other Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. I'm telling you about a terrific show, The New Criminal Minds, with outstanding actor Gary Sinise, called Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. A tough drama about a special unit of the FBI involved in protecting Americans who are beyond borders. It follows the regular Criminal Minds, airing every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't miss it. Gary Sinise is outstanding.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Thank you for that smile upon your face. Oh, sunny.
Hi, this is John Barber. You may remember me as the co-host, producer, and creator of Real People, America's first reality show, or most recently as the writer-director of what's been called the definitive documentary on JFK's murder, The Last Word on the Assassination. Now I'm doing a show every other Monday from 5 to 6 Pacific Time on BBS. You'll hear provocative views, unreported news, and film reviews from me with outstanding guests and you. Join me on John Barber's World.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Those of you who have an ongoing interest in the JFK assassination might want to know about this. TV producer John Barber. He put together a dream team of JFK researchers, including Coast regular Jim Mars and world-class JFK writers Dick Russell and Joan Mellon. They all got together at UNLV in front of a live audience. They had a screening of Barber's terrific and I'd say historic film based on interviews with prosecutor Jim Garrison of New Orleans. And then after the film was shown, the experts all talked about the latest JFK theories and evidence. It's now out on a DVD. Terrific stuff. I'm George Knapp, Coast to Coast AM.
Okay. Welcome back to John Barber's World with Rosie Cutter. Again, if you wish to speak to Rosie during the last half hour, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. And we're joined now by the best journalist in the country, puts out the best newsletter called News Vandal, Joe Satilli. Joe, welcome to the show. You have a question for Rosie?
I do. How are you doing, Rosie?
Great.
Here's the question. Do you remember the first card you turned over and it wasn't playing Canasta or it wasn't playing Solitaire, it wasn't for fun, it wasn't a game? Do you remember that moment when you turned a card and it said something more to you than it had ever done before?
What a great question.
Well, once I got introduced to this system, finding random cards in the street, for example, took on a whole new meaning. So, yeah, I do. They're very powerful archetypes. They have not been changed for thousands of years, actually. And they weren't used for games until French 1700s Napoleon.
Now, did you work with tarot cards prior to this?
Yeah, I had studied tarot and palm reading and Western astrology, but most of them have their root in numerology. So pretty much the systems say the same things. But the playing cards, for example, predate the tarot. Definitely. The tarot is an offshoot of the playing cards. And some people actually believe that the tarot was invented by more nefarious elements of the Catholic Church to kind of muddy and, you know, mess up the true information of the 52 card deck, which is the basis of our Gregorian calendar.
Wait. So the tarot, and you're saying tarot. So I'm going to say that from now on, like Ross Perot. The tarot cards. Sorry, I can't resist with any kind of Ross Perot reference. You can't pass it up. So the tarot cards may actually have been a red herring to draw meaning away from the 52 card deck.
Yes. So the minor arcana in the tarot is the numerological based. The pentacles are diamonds. It goes from the, you know, ace to the 13. So that's all based on our Gregorian calendar. That's fixed. Then you introduce all these other elements like Aleister Crowley and this whole idea. And it does have an occult symbolism, which ironically enough, the playing cards are insinuated everywhere in our society. The symbols are used so much in pop culture, and we don't realize how powerful those archetypes are, actually.
So really, it's more of a system than it is a spiritual awakening. It's a system that can lead to spiritual awakening, but the system precedes the spiritual awakening?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's your system. The way watching waves to go surfing is a system. It's paying attention to the weather. And there are certain patterns that are age-old patterns, just like the way a flower grows and unfolds in sacred geometry. There are these patterns around us. So it's basically learning to read patterns that are around you and your place in them. And then it can be hopefully spiritual. Obviously, these systems are used in not so spiritual ways as well for monetary gain and power and collusion, etc.
Rosie, tell us about Joe's sign. You said there might be changes. There were changes in Trump.
So all right, give us your prediction.
August 2nd, 1969, the year of Altamont.
Oh, okay. So you are the Jack of Diamonds. Surprise, surprise. So you're the Jack. John's the King. You guys are great buddies. And when somebody's a Jack, if you can imagine, they have the ability to conference with the King and then transfer that message to the community. The king doesn't usually have so much to do one-on-one with the groups at large. So the Jack is really a spiritual intermediary. And on its highest side, the Jack of Diamonds has very high ideals, is very spiritual, only uses its naughty gifts for good. The United States is a Jack of Diamonds, July 4th. And on the low side, sometimes the Jacks are unbelievable salespeople cards, very, very clever, very, very charming, very creative in their mind and financially. So the low side would be to use that creativity for one's own personal gain, or to be so creative in the way that you phrase things that you convince yourself of something that's perhaps not true. But it's
Rosie, excuse me, what kind of health issues would somebody like Joe have?
Well, because of the huge career drive and hectic schedule, there would be issues around a vata displacement, let's say, where the air element gets disturbed. So it's important for you to keep your hands and your feet warm and drink warm liquids, not be in super windy places that can kind of disturb you. And also, in a way, you're so sturdy and tough that you just don't know when enough is enough. You know, so it's like you can beat up that Ford pickup truck and run it into the ground, but eventually it's going to need an oil change and a filter change. And you are just like a car. You need to change the water and the oil. So a lot for Joe would just be that he's a Jack and he always has tons of people in his life, really taking time to like be alone sometimes. Healthy boundaries around that. And, you know, like all men, you have to really get nutrients in.
And I'll tell you, Joe, that does sound like you or something.
Yeah, I need a new transmission is what I think I need. I need a bailout like Chrysler.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Joe, because you spoke earlier about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and Hillary. Have you any observations at all about why there is such a lack of media interest in exploring some of these WikiLeaks documents?
Well, there are two things. One is the media is basically in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And, I mean, there's one reason why, and it's actually a story that will appear on the rundown tomorrow. The Center for Public Integrity has crunched the numbers, and journalists are far and away giving most of their money to the Hillary Clinton campaign. And so, you know, I get in a debate often because I tell people that as a journalist, I don't vote and I don't participate in either party because I believe my journalism is my vote. And I think that all journalists should abstain from being involved in any party politics. And actually, they shouldn't vote because the journalism is the vote. But the other thing is that I think the WikiLeaks, and I've looked at a lot of the emails, the Podesta emails. By the way, Podesta is a little bit kooky. He's a little bit interesting in some ways about GMOs he thinks cause migraines. That came out in an email. He also is a huge enthusiast of UFO trutherism, if we want to call it that. He thinks that the government has a lot of information on UFOs that he wants out. And I think one of the deals he has cut, and we've seen that he's cut with Hillary Clinton, is that if he gets her elected, she's going to let him go in and try and open the vault on UFO information. But yeah. I think the number one thing is that the WikiLeaks emails are confirmational about what we already knew. Hillary Clinton is the embodiment of everything that we probably find distasteful about the political machinery inside the Beltway.
That's such a great, great observation.
The Trump stuff, the Access Hollywood is revelatory about what a misogynist scumbag Donald Trump is. So there's the confirmational versus the revelatory, and because the media and the system does not want Donald Trump, he is such a target-rich environment, it's bombs away.
Okay. Well, I hate to interrupt you, but somebody has gone to the trouble of finally getting through and making a call. So, Doug, if you have him or her on the line, please let them through. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Hi, your name, please.
Hi. My name is Laurie. I'm calling – hi, John. I'm calling for Rosie. I hear there's readings. She's giving readings.
Yes, dear. Make sure that your computer or your radio is down so there's no feedback.
Okay, will do.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, fine. Okay, go ahead. Speak up and ask Rosie anything you wish.
Okay. I was just wanted to ask Rosie what kind of move I should make in the within the year's time. I'm sorry, I didn't know readings consisted of actual questions, so.
Oh, that's okay. What's your birth name?
My birth date?
Mm-hmm.
May 23rd. Do you need the year?
Yeah, how old are you this year?
60 years old. 56 is the year.
Okay. Okay, so 6 years old. So first of all, you are the Nine of Clubs. So this is definitely a card that I would imagine is involved and interested in spiritual energy. It's literally called the Universal Knowledge card. And are you married?
Not anymore. My husband recently passed.
I am very sorry to hear that. Okay, so you said you're 60. Well, one thing I will say is that I know it might be hard right now, but you do have good love, and there can be someone new that can come into your life maybe next year after you turn 61. It does have heavy indicators of you moving right now. Have you been traveling right now?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Where do you live?
I'm in Florida.
Thank you.
And where are you thinking about going?
Either staying within Florida or back up to Michigan. I'm wondering. Have you seen anything?
Okay, well, let me read you one of the influences you have that is going to make it really easy and really good for you to move, because you have the Five of Spades, which is the strongest indicator for the whole year of 60, right? So 60 just started in May. So sometime before next May, this is the strongest indicator of traveling, moving your home and business, and a change that affects what you do every day, a change of lifestyle. This can also be a change in your health for the better. Okay. So it says that there's inner restlessness that you have, and the time has now come for you to move in new directions. And these new directions will be for the better, and they'll lead to more freedom and expansion and prosperity for you. So there definitely is a good move coming, and I would do it before next May, but it should be pretty easy for you. And it does seem like you have some support and some people who are wanting to see you. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, this will be wonderful. The only
Lois, thank you so much. Actually, we have a very bad connection. I don't know why we have such a bad connection. I cannot hear you well, but I wish you luck. I'm sorry about the loss of your husband, and thank you again so much for calling in. I appreciate it. The best of luck to you, dear. Thank you. Joe, you mentioned earlier about the business of WikiLeaks, and that how everybody is in the bag for Hillary Clinton. Is it true, I just read that some CNN reporter on the air said there should be a law against people reading WikiLeaks?
Oh, yeah, that's the irrepressible Chris Cuomo.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Who's about as much of a journalist as I am a professional wrestler. I mean, come on. He's there because he's got the last name Cuomo, and he has sort of a gaffe-ridden career. He implied very strongly that we should not, as private citizens, handle WikiLeaks materials because it may be illegal for us to handle these absconded emails. But as a journalist, you know, he has the right to do that. It's just... can I use the word asinine? Because it's one of my favorite words. It's a overlooked word. It used to be used a lot more often.
Yes.
It's an asinine statement. Look, we're in an environment in which two things can be true at the same time. And I think it's befuddling to people because we've been conditioned to expect to live in a binary world of left and right, good and evil, Republican, Democrat, red and blue states. It is true that Julian Assange is most likely working with Russian hackers to abscond these emails and produce them. It is also true that these emails should be seen. It is true that Hillary Clinton is a creature of the establishment and a sort of almost a callow self-interested functionary of a massive political industrial complex. It is also true that Donald Trump is a repugnant misogynist. This is sort of what I think is so interesting about this election, is that the fallacy of the entire two-party system is being exposed, and we kind of have to get into the gray area between the black and white that we're used to, because in the gray area we realize that there's actually no real choice in this election.
Well, did you happen to everybody seemed to be talking about the Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
Who did it and what was it?
Alec
like?
Baldwin, and it was about the debate, and it was, look, Alec Baldwin is, if I was an actor and I was offered the opportunity of playing Donald Trump as a caricature, I mean, that'd be like a giant German chocolate cake being handed to you, right? I mean, it's so easy to do, and Alec Baldwin is doing a great job. I think the interesting thing is that Donald Trump months ago was praising Saturday Night Live when he was brought on to do sort of a guest little spot and whatnot. You know, the ultimate thing that I find about Donald Trump is that he may be the single most narcissistic human being I've ever observed in my life. His campaign is actually, you know, this is one of the things, as you know, John, I have a personal expertise on fascism. It's what I studied as a graduate student and published on academically. When people say that Donald Trump is a fascist, that just sort of makes me cringe, because to be a fascist, you actually have to have a systematic ideology and program that you're trying to implement. And Donald Trump's only real program is the confirmation that Donald Trump is awesome. And if he's not being confirmed in his awesomeness, you are his enemy. But if you are confirming him in his awesomeness, you are his friend. I think this is where the connection to Putin comes. It's not that he's actually a stooge of Putin and that he's sort of a quiet KGB sleeper agent who's been activated. It's that Putin praised him as a genius once, and so now he's forever on Trump's team. And if Putin were to say, after Trump were to be elected, that Putin is just another tool of American imperialism, all of a sudden Putin would become a moron. So, you know, I mean, that's sort of the oddity of Donald Trump, is that there's no real predictable systematic idea at the core of Donald Trump other than Donald Trump is amazing.
What do you think will happen with the election? With Rosie saying that she heard this lady on Jeff France's show saying that Democrats would win, but it wouldn't be Hillary.
Well, it is looking like a Democratic win, and I think now the Clinton campaign is starting to move into Arizona. They're up big in Colorado. It looks like they're going to win Pennsylvania. I don't see an Electoral College path for Donald Trump. Whoever won, it was going to be immediately into scandal. The Trump Foundation and the university and all these things were going to come under investigation, and it was going to be go after Trump, go after Trump, go after Trump on the Democrat side. Once Hillary is elected, it's going to be constant investigation. And now that you have this attempted a quid pro quo by the State Department with the FBI about classification, and that came out from an FBI release today, that there is going to be at some point in the next 2 years after a Clinton election, probably some move for impeachment. So either way, you are going to have a government in stasis and crisis. I think the one thing about Clinton being elected is that Trump, who I've long predicted is going to move into the media space and become sort of the Uber Limbaugh, and he's going to do that with Roger Ailes.
I
mean, he's got Roger Ailes and Steve Bannon, and by Roger Ailes, you know, I mean, nomenclature is destiny. If there's anybody who's sick, it's Roger Ailes, because he is somebody who has been proven to be a sexual harasser and abusive of women in the workplace now many times over.
I got to tell you a little sidebar about that. In 1969, my second appearance in Las Vegas, I was the opening act for a fellow named John Gary. Sarita was 8 months pregnant at the time. And I was under contract. Merv Griffin had recommended me to Westinghouse as his replacement. And they, when I substituted for Merv, they used my numbers to get David Frost's money down.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I was getting at that time, and I needed the money. I was getting $600 a week for like 6 months until they decided what they were going to do. Guess who was going to produce my show?
Ailes.
Roger Ailes.
Wow.
Roger came out for 2 days. He sat two nights in the theater to watch me perform. We met afterwards each night. And I must tell you, he was one of the nicest looking young men I had ever seen. As a matter of fact, he resembled a young Tyrone Power. He had dark hair. He was slender. I'm telling you, he must have gone on Orson Welles' diet. You would not know it is the same person. I just wish that I had taken a photograph. He did pose for a picture with Sarita while she was expecting, as did Merv. But I don't know where the picture of it went. If I had it, no FBI guy could ever say that these are the same two human beings, because he was about 5'9" or 5'10", maybe 160 pounds at the most, impeccably dressed, blue serge suit and tie, and my God, now he wears tents. It's just bizarre.
Well, and in that tent, he has assembled, over the course of his time at Fox News, a harem by... by forcing
you
women.
You have such a way with words.
Well, it's on the level of Bill Cosby. If you read the reporting of what went on at Fox News, it's really abhorrent. As somebody who worked in the news industry and saw women struggling to try and make it in a workplace that was male dominated and often colorful.
Okay, how come they trashed Trump? They trashed Roger Ailes. How come they didn't trash Bill O'Reilly?
Well, that's a good question. But the same question is, why didn't anybody trash Bill Clinton at the opportunity to trash Bill Clinton? I mean, there does seem to be this sliding scale. And Bill O'Reilly somehow has been able to inoculate himself from some of his little peccadilloes. But I think Ailes is just such an unsympathetic character at this point. And the fact that he had a massive surveillance system set up inside Fox News to monitor women and stuff, it's quite mind-boggling. But
it's Tony Perkins in Psycho.
Yeah, it's Tony Perkins. One thing about the election, I just have like a little ray of hope here?
Yes, go ahead.
And that is, I think that should this play out the way it looks like it's going to play out, with Hillary Clinton winning, I think you will see the rending of the Republican Party, because Trump is going to use that media outlet. He's going to take that 8,000 to 10,000 supporters that are super loyal to him, and he's going to turn them into an audience and to a separate political movement that's going to be attacking both the Clinton administration and the Republican establishment. And I think the Republican Party is going to be cut in two, I believe. I think also the election of Hillary Clinton, in a funny way, is actually going to be a catalyst for change, because I think once she gets in there and the scandals start to happen, that the Sandinistas, Bernie's people, and the Occupy people, and the progressives who held their nose and said, we cannot accept Donald Trump, will then turn on Hillary Clinton. And I think you may see over the course of the next 2 to 4 years, the splintering of the Democratic Party. And in some ways, I think the election of Hillary Clinton is better for the ultimate dissolution of the two-party system than the election of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump would keep Democrats united. I think Hillary Clinton becoming president will cause them to turn on each other.
That I think is a really, really bright observation. You know, it's like the last brick being pulled out of the dam, and it all comes tumbling down. Rosie, do you know anything at all about Roger Ailes?
Well, actually, now that you mention it, it's funny because his card is the Four of Diamonds. So very steadfast, tenacious, hardworking person here to be monetarily successful. But what is his bane in life? His Saturn card? What are all his issues around? The Queen of Hearts, women.
So Saturnalia.
Yep. So it started with his mother. and it's his weakness, and it turns out to be his downfall.
Wow, how interesting. This note from a couple of days ago from a mutual Facebook friend of yours and mine, Joe, Irina Clark, back in Cambridge, Massachusetts, is this wonderful picture of Hillary Clinton and commenting about the WikiLeaks messages that keep pouring out every day. And she says, the Russians are trying to rig the election by exposing how I rigged the election. I'm telling you, there are a lot of very smart, funny people out there, and they're not on television most of the time. Now, if it is not Hillary Clinton, is there a possibility that something could go wrong and Obama would stay in? Is there a possibility it could be her running mate that would become president?
Is that to Rosie or to me? I think that's a question for Rosie.
It's a question to both of you.
I mean, that's obviously the fear, or that something health-wise happens immediately and then it becomes her running mate. Yeah, I don't think that people are going to be happy with the result no matter what happens. So maybe they
that's baked into the cake that you're going to have this stark reaction. And I think in some ways possible incidents of at least localized violence, because Donald Trump is definitely stirring that pot. If something were to happen to her, anytime I hear people say that somehow Obama is going to find a way to stay in office, I think Obama is just champing at the bit to get out of the White House.
And I think he wants out of the White House because he knows he doesn't run anything. He knows he is a clerk and that he is following the orders of somebody else. As I said before, he's a lawn jockey for Goldman Sachs, but it's quite interesting that you mentioned this business about a local outbursts of violence. I mean, every night my wife says to me, you know, there's just something about that man that creates violence wherever he goes. Or anyway, I want to thank the both of you again for being here. I'm sorry that there were some phone issues that some of you tried to get in and couldn't get in. Again, Joe, where can they hear you again? Where can they find your stuff, The News Vandal?
Just go to newsvandal.com, sign up for the rundown. Thank you for all of your honorifics, John. I'm not the greatest journalist going in America right now. There's some darn good ones out there, but I'm a pretty good news aggregator. And if you want to know what's going on in the world, then all you have to do is get the rundown. You read the headlines. You don't have to click on a single story. I put the headlines together so it tells a story. Just read the headlines. It'll take you about 10 minutes and you'll probably know more than just about anybody trying to read you the news on cable news channels. That's newsvandal.com. Tomorrow night I'll be on the Ocelli Effect on American Freedom Radio at 6 p.m. And then every Friday I'm on KRUU-FM, KRUU-FM. You can listen to it online at 2:30. Pacific, 4:30 Central. Make sure you also follow up with the great Rosie Cutter.
Okay, Rosie, where can people contact you to learn about you and to get a reading?
On Facebook, my name is Rosie Cutter, RosieCutter. Or they can email me at roselyncutter@gmail.com. RoselyNCutter@gmail.com.
Oh, well, thank you again very, very much. And I want to thank all you really nice folks who've just flooded me with really sweet notes ever since George Norrie said good night to me. And I also especially want to thank Mike Kim, my producer. And quite honestly, I wouldn't even have started this show or continue to do it without Mike's support and help. Again, Mike, thank you. Joe, Rosie, thank you. And as Ed Murray used to say, good night and good luck.
You're my spark of nature's fire. You're my sweet, complete desire. A sunny, 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 sunny.